I'm Silvahara Pedion. Welcome to my podcast. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Catch it anywhere you listen to podcasts.
This is a war. It may not be in a region familiar to most, and it may not even involve people you care or know much about. But what's happening is not only a humanitarian matter, it has global, political, and historic implications that impact you and me today and forever. Why? Because staying complacent in the face of unjustified aggression will shape the world we live in. And if the world stays silent, it is bound to happen again, this time on our watch. While this is a humanitarian crisis, there are geopolitical powers at play. Azerbaijan is one of the birthplaces of the global oil industry and a huge supplier to not only Turkey and Israel, but also to the United States. Now, I am blessed to call the U.S. home. Being a person of Armenian descent, though, I have a personal connection and a personal responsibility to tell this story. When I was three, my parents and I visited my aunt who lived in Armenia at the time. The 10-day vacation left a lasting impression on my young brain, and it evoked emotions my young heart would not understand for years to come. Imprinted in my memory are the images of grand churches, some carved into mountainsides, some on mountaintops, but all very old. Many of these churches were erected in and after the 4th century, about the same time Mestrop Mashtots invented the Armenian alphabet. His statues and the alphabet, carved into stones, are proudly displayed everywhere in Armenia, and you know, I remember them vividly. While I never returned to Armenia again, there has always been an unexplainable connection with the land and its people, thousands of whom are scattered all over the world. Many are survivors and children of survivors of the 1915 Armenian Genocide. And what we all have in common is a bond that makes us proud of being Armenian, our history, our heritage, and our culture that we all strive to keep alive. My family lineage goes back to Armenia, dating back to the 1800s, but I grew up in Iran, where my Armenian ancestors had settled years before the genocide. Growing up, life seemed somewhat normal until the Iranian Revolution and the war, the Iran-Iraq War that followed, that lasted for about a decade. The fighting didn't exclude the cities and the civilian population. My twin years were spent nail-biting in the dark, nights in bomb shelters, in basements, waiting and hoping that missiles would miss us. It's a story that is now unfolding in Artsakh. As the men fight in the front lines, women and children are underground in unheated basements, sheltering day and night from ongoing violence. My personal encounter with war left a lasting impression and shaped the trajectory of my life. It ignited a need to fight against injustice and amplify voices of the unheard. It also awakened the humanitarian in me, and I have felt it my responsibility to speak truth to power, essentially dedicating the last 22 years of my life to journalism. I tell you my story because so many of you have asked to understand what is going on with Armenians around the world. Why are we protesting? Something happening half a world away, and why should you care? And as you watch, I'm not going to ask you to take sides. However, I am going to ask you to have an open mind and consider historical facts. Do your research, stay informed, stay educated, and use the power of your voice and the power of your vote. Before we move forward, a few very important facts. Armenia is the world's first Christian country. Artsakh is a South Caucasus territory north of Turkey and Iran. To its east is Azerbaijan. Artsakh has been part of Armenia and its ancient land to Armenians since 150 BC. That's 150 before Christ. Between 1914 and 1918, the Ottoman Empire took over Baku, which is the current capital of Azerbaijan, and created this independent country of Azerbaijan. This was following a policy of ethnic cleansing that systematically exterminated its Armenian population in the region. In 1921, after the Soviet Union took control, its leader, Joseph Stalin, gave Artsakh to Azerbaijan. In 1988, the first violence of the current conflict broke out. Artsakh National Assembly voted to dissolve its autonomous status and joined Armenia. Between 1992 and 1994, war over the territory claimed more than 30,000 lives and displaced hundreds of thousands of people. It ended with Russian brokered truce. Artsakh is actually a territory that is legally a part of Azerbaijan, but has been occupied and run by a self-declared government of ethnic Armenians since 1994, and it's been backed by Armenia all these years. Now, decades of negotiation involving France and Russia and the US have all failed to resolve this conflict. Some would have you believe this is a fight over territory and land, but it's so much more than that. To understand it, we need not only facts, but also historical context. So let's do that. More than 3 million Armenians, Assyrians, and Greeks were hung, executed, tortured, and exiled into starvation by the Ottoman Empire in 1915. Historians and scholars have called it the first genocide of the 20th century. The word genocide was created expressly to describe that crime. And at the time, the rest of the world was not paying attention, and by the time international powers realized what was going on, it was too late. The Ottoman Empire claimed it was civil war, and to this day, modern-day Turkey, formerly Ottoman Empire, continues to deny the atrocities. Hitler followed the Ottoman Empire's playbook. He told his generals, quote, "Who, after all, speaks today of the alienation of the Armenians?" Unquote. The Holocaust followed. And then there was Rwanda, Cambodia, Libya, Guatemala, Syria, all a small group of marginalized people who were deemed unimportant, dehumanized, and targeted because they were different in race, in nationality, or religion. Crimes against humanity transcend borders and nationalities and represent how systematic injustice can be perpetuated even in our country, city, or neighborhoods. You know, earlier this year, millions around the world took to the streets and protested systemic racism and oppression and injustice in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. This is why Armenians, a small tribe of people who are fighting a war half a world away, matters. They represent, this war represents the fight you and I share, the fight for freedom, for equality, and peace. If you've ever met an Armenian or have an Armenian friend, you should probably check on them. And you should know what's happening. And what's happening has deep and historical roots, and it is stirring a lot of intergenerational trauma. Check on those friends. Let them know you stand with them. Ask them how they're doing and how you can help. And if you're wondering why you should do that, it's because you have heard before that history repeats itself, because the truth is that if any force thinks that they can get away with it in silence once, they will repeat their actions again and again and again. There are so many other factors in this conflict, so many interlocking interests and external players and potential dangers. You see, Azerbaijan supplies Turkey with natural gas and crude oil through a pipeline. And this pipeline is called the BTC pipeline. And it passes 10 miles of the Azerbaijani-Armenia border and 30 miles of this conflict zone. According to AsiaTimes.com, British Petroleum is behind this pipeline and has invested at least $15 billion into the country. This pipeline is meant to help end the United States' dependence on oil from the Persian Gulf. The pipeline ends right next door to a massive American airbase in Turkey. This is a region with questionable ethics. According to Transparency International, Azerbaijan ranked 20th out of 168 countries and a global corruption index in 2017. It is widely reported that Azerbaijan's dictator, as well as Turkey's president, have historically been silencing opposition voices for decades. Information is being censored and journalists are being jailed. In fact, in this current war, Azerbaijan has blocked access to international journalists wanting to cover the conflict. And the journalists who were there are reporting some interesting facts. Years of censorship and misinformation by Turkish and Azeri governments has created a population that has no historical perspective. And to no fault of their own, they are being used as puppets fueled by propaganda and untruths. Just in the past few days, there's been coordinated cyber attacks on celebrities who have spoken out in support of Armenia. Elton John and Cardi B took down their social media posts. They were being harassed, and it was so intense that Cardi B publicly apologized. Armenian business owners and influencers are receiving hundreds of thousands of fake bad reviews online on their products and services. No matter where you stand on this issue, it is important to remember that this is about human lives, and there must be accountability for war crimes. There is a bitter truth. Nobody seems to care. And as the legendary author William Saroyan once said, we are a tribe of unimportant people from a forgotten land. Or are we? Armenia has a population of 3 million, but its diaspora concentrated in the US with significant hubs in Lebanon and Australia and France and Russia extends to at least double that size. And many of those people are survivors of genocide. And in exile, generations of displaced people have nurtured a resilient national identity and powerful advocacy and political machine. We have money and voting power. Since October 4th of 2020, members of the Armenian communities across the world have taken action, calling their representatives, donating, speaking, posting, publicizing what many call a Turkish attempt at another genocide. Thousands have been peacefully protesting in Los Angeles, Glendale, Burbank, Pasadena, Oakland, Las Vegas, Utah, Philadelphia, Boston, Detroit, Denver, New York, Washington, D.C., and Greece and Canada, Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, Italy, Belgium, Poland, Sweden, France, to name a few. Many of the protesters, just like me, weren't even born in the motherland, nor have they ever been. But our Armenian roots run deep. We move as though we're led by the tormented memories of our ancestors, and we are desperate to live to find another day. We display a unique sense of compassion for humanity, and despite the atrocities inflicted on our people, we still are hopeful. Have faith, or our hearts are open and worn on our sleeves. At last check, the global Armenian community has raised $90 million and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of medical equipment and humanitarian supplies, all of them bought and shipped to Armenia in a matter of hours. Social media feeds have been taken over by Armenian celebrities, influencers, students, everyday ordinary people. They've been posting and educating and informing and demanding that the world break its silence, that our friends with whom we stood in the name of equality and justice join us. There's been a full court press on the media and in full transparency on me as well, demanding that media outlets provide fair and accurate coverage about a small war with global implications. There's been massive protests in front of the Los Angeles CNN Bureau, in front of the LA Times. There were closures of two major freeways in as many nights in Los Angeles to get news coverage, to bring attention to what's happening in that part of the world. This is war. This is an unfamiliar region. This is a group of seemingly unimportant people. But this is us. You know us. You work with us, you build with us, you love our loyalty and our friendship, you love our hospitality and generosity, you celebrate with us, You read our literature. You dance with us at our weddings and eat chorovats in our backyard and always with a side of vodka to boot. You know us. We're inventors. We're writers. We're musicians. We are peaceful, loving people. But, you know, we can't do this alone. We need your support. We are the children and the grandchildren of genocide survivors. And as Saroyan famously said in his quote, this small tribe of unimportant people whose wars have been fought and lost. And you know something? We're still fighting a war. But now our voices will rise. Music will echo in every corner of the world. Our laughter will become louder. Our prayers will be answered. For no matter where we are in the world, by a click of a mouse, we are creating a new Armenia every day, everywhere. We will not be silenced, and neither should you. Joining me today is Edit Alaverdian. She is a licensed associate psychotherapist. One of the reasons I wanted to have her on today is because many of you may know or may not know, for my non-Armenian friends and viewers and listeners, the Armenian community has been going through some very challenging times in the last 10 days, which is extremely triggering to a group of people who have transgenerational trauma for surviving a genocide that has never actually been recognized. And this is why having someone like Edit Alaverdian with us to talk about the impact and triggers of what is happening is so incredibly important. We are in the middle of a fight worldwide to get attention to this matter. We are in the middle of fighting for our existence, but we are also in the middle of having to cope with one of the most difficult, I get goosebumps as I talk about it. One of the most difficult fights of our lives. And in order to understand this and unpack this and figure out how to cope with it, in order for us to be able to figure out how to talk to our children about it, in order for you to understand why this group of people in Warsaw, in Italy, in New Zealand, in Australia, in Argentina, in all over the world care and want you to care about a piece of land that they may have never even been to. So let's talk about that, shall we? Did I just unpack all of that?
Yes, and I'm just very emotional, as you said, difficult battle, because it's just, you know, it's absolutely, it's about humanity, it's about humans, it's about the children, and it's just such a loss, and I think we're all experiencing so much that itself is just so hard to really identify what we're feeling, you know, and we're just a rage of emotions. Like, there's anger, there's resentment, there's sadness. And so, and this is why I thought, I'm like, wow, like, this is the perfect time to bring up intergenerational trauma, because this is what we've been experiencing since 1915. And it's never properly been talked about. Mm-hmm. So this is a perfect way to kind of educate people that this is a real thing that we're experiencing. And one perfect example is, like, you know, you hear non-Armenians always say, well, why are Armenians always so loud? Why are they always so aggressive when they speak? It sounds like you guys are always fighting. We always hear it. And it's because we are loud and we are passionate, because we're constantly, since 1915, we've been wanting to be heard. We have been wanting to prove that, acknowledge us, this is happening, this has happened, and it's continuing to happen. So naturally, our voices are going to be high pitch. Our body language is going to be at high pitch, because we're always seeking validation, acknowledgement that we're properly never giving to us.
We're going to continue this conversation coming back after this break.
I'm Silva Haraperian. Welcome to my podcast. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Catch it anywhere you listen to podcasts.